truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're not going anywhere, are you?
You can accuse them of malfeasance. You can accuse them of dropping the ball, of having an awful plan, and all of that would be justified.
This review is now complete. And as commander-in-chief,
he's facing charges in Pierce County for child rape.
After reviewing the evidence available to us.
Why are you disrespecting me?
You're not going anywhere, are you?
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show through the looking glass. Not only of talk radio, of reality, where reality is our bitch every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And that General Galen Shaw will be back, and he'll be answering questions. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I told you not gonna.
Don't worry about it. I got it back. He'll answer questions. We got coming up a discussion of Tiger Woods, and as if we hadn't had enough of this man, which I feel sorry for the guy personally, already wrecked his car, already his old lady's angry at him, already had an affair, but this now has, now apparently there's a voicemails or emails that have been released by the woman in question. We'll find out about that. We're talking to the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, Bobby Dooley, and her husband Steve, next hour on that. As you probably know, Seattle police found the suspect, the individual that they suspect as being responsible for the murder of four police officers last weekend. They found him and they shot him dead. A police officer fatally shot the man suspected of killing four police officers. His name is Maurice Clemens. He was shot and killed Tuesday on the street in a working-class South Seattle neighborhood after a police officer on patrol noticed a stolen vehicle with the engine idling around 2:45 a.m. Listen to this audio and tell me what you think. This is Assistant Chief Jim Pugley explains the encounter between Maurice Clemens and Officer Benjamin Kelly.
He detected some movement behind him, got out of his car, says that he recognized the person who was approaching him to be looking or appeared to be just like the person who has been broadcast as the possible suspect in the tragic homicide in Lakewood. He ordered the person to stop. He ordered the person to show his hands. That person would not show his hands, and also began to run away counterclockwise around the vehicle. The officer again told him to stop. He wouldn't stop. The officer fired several rounds, took the person into custody. The Seattle Fire Department responded immediately, and all indications are that he is deceased.
Now, I don't want to, you know, I just want to ask a question. Was this guy armed? I didn't hear anything about that being the case. We'll, you know, we'll look further into it. The nation, of course, was transfixed by this story, as well as we should be, because of the death, the outright murder of guys that are men and women who are charged with our safety. Support offered to the families of the slain officers as well. Here's a woman from Gig Harbor, Washington. She reacts to the death of Clemens on Seattle television.
I'm glad that the person who did this was caught. And I think it touches all of our hearts. Many of us know people who are in law enforcement and who help keep our community safe, and our hearts are heavy. And I just want to come and pay our respects. So that was what I did.
I know there's probably more to the story, and I'm not second-guessing. I'm just wondering if this police officer, the officer that shot Clemens, was he threatened with a weapon? I didn't hear anything in that audio. We'd listen to it again. They do say that they found a weapon on Mr. Clemens that belonged to one of the officers that was slain. So anyway, police are now focusing their attention on friends and relatives of Mr. Clemens, who they believe, you know, I don't shed any tears for this guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad they wasted this piece of crap. I just don't want to hear later on, about 2 weeks from now, somebody filing a lawsuit saying, well, you know, the guy wasn't our, you know how it goes, right? I'm not second. All I'm asking is there anything here that's going to screw this up? Good. Kill him. That's fine with me. But if 2 weeks later somebody says, well, this gun now, did he have a gun? Did he raise up on you? Well, we found a gun on him. Did this guy have a gun in his hand? Why did you shoot him? In any event, police are now focusing their attention on relatives and friends of Mr. Clemens, who they believe aided the suspect after the slaying of these police officers. Pierce County Sheriff's spokesman Ed Troyer said at a press conference the police had several people in custody already for providing criminal assistance, including a man suspected of helping him drive away from the scene of the officer's shooting. I'm going to really be interested in the whole background to this story. How crazy was this guy? What hallucinations was he having that drove him to enter this place where these officers were sitting having dinner and deciding to just kill them? What's going on here? Troyer said police believe associates of Mr. Clemens provided him with money, cell phones, medical aid, and helped moving him to different locations. What's that about? Who are these people? Are they as nuts as him? The officer who shot Mr. Clemens wasn't wounded. Police have said they aren't sure what prompted Clemens to shoot the officers as they did paperwork on their laptops. Clemens had an extensive and violent criminal history. Now, here's a story about him having hallucinations, one of them having to do with the eating of babies. Now, we had a story about a schizophrenic woman a couple of months ago that actually did do that. "I'll kill all you bitches," Maurice Clemens told the Pierce County jail workers who were trying to book him, according to court records. It was May 9th, 2009. Clemens had been arrested after punching a sheriff's deputy in the face. "I'll kill all you bitches" sounds like something you'd see on Facebook.
Yeah.
In any event, Clemens had been arrested after punching a sheriff's deputy in the face. He was charged with multiple counts of third-degree assault and malicious mischief. Clemens, the prime suspect in this series of slayings of the four Lakewood police officers, received a court-ordered mental health evaluation tied to the charges filed in May. You can't do any kind of a court-ordered mental health evaluation when someone is homicidal that can assure anybody that they're not going to go out and kill anyone or otherwise assure people that the guy's fine. Now, why do I say that? Is it because I'm an expert? No. It's because I've read enough about psychopaths and psychotic people to know that psychiatrists all across this country, in the all 50 states of this fine nation of ours, have said, oh, yeah, he's fine. And then meanwhile, the guy's got a head in the trunk of his car. Remember that guy I told you about?
What's that guy's name, Kemper?
Ed Kemper. Let the name ring down through the halls of time. Ed Kemper. Here's a guy that walked into a psychologist's office. No disrespect intended to people who are hard at work trying to figure out the human brain and the human mind. It's the last frontier. Forget about space. Forget about, this is where it's at, baby. This is what the next century is going to be all about. Forget about Mars and the space station and whether or not the universe is going to rip apart. You want to know where the last frontier is, baby? The last frontier is right between your ears. What the hell is going on in there? And how much of it is so-called psychological and how much of it is physical, see? Because a lot of this stuff is physical. We're now finding out that schizophrenia, which we used to think had to do with somebody being beaten by their parents or they were taken off the nipple too soon, this is a physical disease. A physical disease. This is a biochemical disease. And as I said to you last night, schizophrenics lose, within 5 years, they lose 25% of their brain cells. Do you understand, in other words, that it is a disease that eats the brain? Schizophrenia? This is a disease. There's no amount of punishment in the world or psychotherapy that's going to cure it. The only thing you can possibly cure it with is at the early parts of the disease, the early stage of the disease, is with medication. And fortunately, the pharmacology is just getting amazing. I mean, that's the good news. There's really amazing stuff going on out there with treating people who've got these biochemical imbalances. But Ed Kemper was a psychopath. There ain't no test that a psychologist... Well, there's tests. You can figure out whether a guy's a psychopath. There's no cure. There's not a cure in the world. Forget it. There's no medicine, nothing. Forget it. It isn't going to happen. The only thing that cures a psychopath, they have found, is at times with age, psychopaths get better. They begin to get it about, oh, yeah, you mean I don't get to have everything I want. Exactly. How old are you? 61. All right, well, better late than never. And they've done work with teenage psychopaths, children, who have psychopathic tendencies. How do you know, for instance, that a baby, a little three-year-old, is a psychopath? They've had stories where children will take a dog and try to flush it, a puppy, and try to flush it down a toilet. And it isn't so much that the child tries to flush the puppy, it's then when you tell the child they did something bad, they don't see it in terms of that they almost killed the puppy. They're pissed off because they can't do what they want to do. So what teenagers, this is how they treat teenage psychopaths. They reward them. They basically say, if you don't steal, and they have these camps now, they're doing a little bit of this work in these camps. If you don't steal, then tomorrow you get to go and they interview these kids, and they literally will say, I got to remember I can't steal. And why do you say, well, because I know that if I steal, people are going to get upset with me. But you just don't, I don't, to me, it's no big thing. I don't care. But I do know that if I steal, then everybody's going to get pissed off, so I better not steal. So you have to, you have to teach them what the expectations are in terms of society, morality, and so forth. They're never going to get it on an emotional level. It isn't going to happen. Forget it. But you can teach them from an intellectual point of view. All right, I know that you don't really give a crap about whether that puppy dies or not. No, I don't. However, you know that if you kill that puppy, that I'm going to take this axe and take your head off. Yes, I understand that, so I'm not going to kill the puppy. Good. Do you care about the puppy? No, not really. I could give a crap whether the puppy lives or dies, but I know that if I kill the puppy, you will do something to me. Right. That's the only thing you can do. So Ed Kemper was a psychopath. And as he sat in the psychiatrist's office, and the psychiatrist was giving him a clean bill of health to tell him that he was just, oh, you're just doing a great job there, Ed. Thank you very much, doctor. Guess what? He had a head in the trunk of his car. In fact, he said later that he laughed about it. When he went out to his car, he opened up the trunk and saw the two heads and went, closed it and drove off. So they're con men. You remember the guy that we had on the show? We had a psychopath on our show, Sam Vankin. Remember him? Sam, if you're listening, no offense. You know what I'm saying. Sam was on the show. He's a psychopath. He's an admitted psychopath. He's a self-diagnosed psychopath. Having told me that and knowing that, I knew that in that interview, sooner or later, he was going to have to con me. Sooner or later, he couldn't go the full interview without trying to con me. And sure enough, he did. So I said to him, and this is where I think he did it. I said, so what do you think? Who do you think in public life is a psychopath? Somebody with no feelings. I think it's Barack Obama. I really do. Really? And then he said the fateful words. He said, my intuition tells me. Psychopaths don't have intuition. They can't have intuition. They don't feel anything. But he was trying to con me because he wanted to create some image that he had a political, shall we say, a political bone, that he had the ability to analyze the scene. What this has to do with poor Mr. Clemens having hallucinations of, cannibalizing babies, I don't know, but we don't have to worry about it anymore because he's gone, man. He's dead. Coming up, a climate scientist at the center of the email controversy, the hacked emails. Boy, this is fascinating, this story. He's stepping down. Not only is he stepping down, but he may just open up a window and step off. I'm kidding, although you never know.
Yeah, if I was that guy.
Anyway, we'll be back with that. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget, go to philhendryshow.com so you can check out our live streaming video and our live streaming audio and our archives and our archived video, and we've got, we have the pilots that we've done for television, we've got an animated pilot we did for TV that's on there, we have TV appearances that we have that thing we did there in Aspen, whatever that was.
Yeah, when you were, that was with those Drew Carey and everybody.
Right, I'm trying to forget. Anyway, it's all there on our website, philhendryshow.com. Twitter with us tonight at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Here is Jeff in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you? Thank you very much for having me on. I tried to call last night. I wanted to comment on the your question you posed about the cop killer there in Washington.
Right.
I'm a police officer. If a person is a felon, and especially if mm-hmm. you recognize this gentleman as the perpetrator who killed four police officers, if he flees
right.
from you, armed or not, you can shoot him. It's justified in the state of Pennsylvania. You can shoot a fleeing felon. And also, you have this man who killed four people, police officers in sworn blood. If he flees from you, if you don't shoot him and he goes and kills somebody, it's on you. He's a murderer. He's fleeing. You have to kill him because you have to kill him. You have the right to use deadly force against him because he could go and harm others. So
I understand.
That's the justification there for the deadly force, armed or unarmed.
I understand. Yeah. Well, you know, being a civilian, I don't know these things. I'm inundated with these news stories about, you know, well, was it justified? But I understand what you're saying. And then there's also one other thing, which I think we're all fascinated with. You guys have this brotherhood, police officers.
Absolutely.
And so we know.
You've heard of the thin blue line, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember driving to Los Angeles one morning, and it was a police officer's motorcycle that had hit a car and had gone down. Now, I think the officer was okay, but the bike had gone down. And I'm telling you, every agency, L.A. County, Ventura County, you know, you name it, man, they had it all shut down, baby. And not only that, no cell phones. I'm not complaining. I think it's fascinating the way you guys respond when a fellow officer is in trouble, and especially when one is killed. So is the thinking this guy, as we've seen on television and movies, you know, oh, this guy goes, he killed a cop, we're going to kill him. Is that the thinking?
It's the mentality. Like, he killed one of us, so I'm not saying that you want to go out and murder this guy in cold blood, but
no,
you're not going to give him a chance to take you out or take out more. You know,
I understand. You know. So this man has killed, he's taken a life, and so you have to assume he'll do it again. And so, and especially as a suspected felon, he's fleeing, you can't take any chances.
Absolutely. You can't let him escape. In that, armed or unarmed, color of law, you're covered and justified. Armed or unarmed.
I understand. All right, Jeff, hey, thanks. There's Jeff. He's a cop. He's in Pennsylvania.
So you can go ahead and kill a guy if he's running away.
No, if he's a guy that's a suspected felon that you know is suspected of committing a homicide, and in this case, multiple homicides. No, you can't just kill a guy if he's running away.
Well, that's what he said.
No, that's not what he said. So really the question, you know, and I think the question is, for me, I'm glad that the police officers do what they want to do. The only thing that I was telling you guys when I was talking about all this crap about, you know, mental illness, about a month ago we had the story of this lady. She ate her baby. I mean, she killed it, and she was in the process of consuming it. It was as gruesome and grisly a tale as you will ever hear. When I heard the 911 tape of her sister calling the police, and I heard this woman in the background saying to her sister, "You're not real, you're not real, you're not here," and her sister saying, "No, I am, I'm real, I'm here, I'm calling the police," I suddenly got the sense that this is not somebody that's living on the planet Earth, you know? And I couldn't get mad at her. And I remember saying to the audience at the time, I said, for me, a schizo, somebody who is sick in the head, I can't get pissed off enough to want to see them burn. I just as soon see them put in a hospital and figure out what the hell is, because, you know, if that girl ever gets well, she's going to have to live with that. And I don't even know, do you ever get well from something like that?
Well, if you get healthy and then eating a baby will make sense.
How the hell is that going to make sense?
What are you talking about, man? How is it going to make sense to eat a baby?
No, I don't mean eat it if you eat it, but it'll make you if you get well.
You're going to get well. You're going to get healthy. Your mind is going to be fine, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to sit there and go, "Oh, well, now I understand why I ate the baby."
No, but you'll understand it. The eating of it, I mean.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm saying if you go to the hospital and have a medicine, right?
Yeah, if you're a schizophrenic.
Right. And then they give it to you, and you get healthy. Now you go, "Oh, okay, I ate a kid. And now I know."
And now you know.
Yeah.
And now you know.
Now I know.
Well, that's just fantastic. And what are they going to think about eating a kid?
Well, they'll go, "Well, that's nuts." So now it all adds up. Now one plus one equals two. Okay, yeah. All right.
You're out of your mind, man. Nobody's going to eat a kid and live with that.
I didn't say live with it. It said 1 + 1 = 2.
Well, I don't even know if it's 1 + 1 = 2, man. I mean, just because you're schizophrenic doesn't mean you're going to eat a kid. It doesn't mean you're going to be homicidal. In some instances, most schizophrenics, 99% of them suffer. They're the only ones that suffer. They live in a hellish world. A hellish world. Voices. Hallucinations. And like I said, this is a disease that eats the brain, you know? So I think about it in those terms, and I want to feel bad. I feel bad for the lady that ate the baby. I don't feel bad for this guy. Why?
Because he's black.
Because he's black. Now then, I'm kidding.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. I don't know. I think it's because of, I don't know, the murder of cops is just, it's difficult for me to live with that one, man. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. WorldNet Daily is upset with a gay elf sex scene on a video game. Otherwise, they'd be fine with it, but it happened to be a gay elf. And as you know, WorldNet Daily has been campaigning against them and their proposals for our state and our country. Plus, loneliness spreads like a virus. And the climate scientist at the center of the email controversy and Bobby and Steve Dooley next hour, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
If you eat a baby, and
will you shut up? Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. We'll have the Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates on to talk about more news on Tiger Woods at the top of the hour. Just a closing thought here on this guy, Clemens. Apparently, he had said that LeBron James, Barack Obama, and Oprah Winfrey were his brothers and sister. He called himself the Beast, and he denied thoughts of harming any officers or anyone specific when pointedly asked. This was during a court appearance that he'd had earlier this year. He also had had hallucinations of eating babies, and the whole thing was real weird. Now, I got a question here, and here is, and I referred to it last night. You know, we got to think about these things sooner or later. You can't say, this is Huckabee, man. So you can just kiss that one goodbye. That's not where that's at. Here's a guy who is a mental case. This guy ought to be in a hospital. In fact, all of these people should be in hospitals. They shouldn't be walking around. How do you have a guy walking around who sees, Mr. Magoo 1 minute, and he sees Harvey the Rabbit the next, and he's hearing voices, and he's wearing a three-cornered hat, and he thinks he's Napoleon? How do you have a cat like that walking around? What is that about, you know?
What do you mean? He's got a right.
He's got a right? He's got a right to what, man? You see, the point is, if this person has said or exhibited or has indicated that there is a violent tendency or there is a violent desire or there's something inside of him. Now, I know what this guy said, that he he had not said anything that would be interpreted as a threat. And yet there was another psychiatrist who deemed him dangerous. Now, put two and two together, put the finest minds in the psychiatric and psychological community together, and I'm sure they would come up with the following conclusion. He needs to be hospitalized. He needs to be treated, right? But we don't have that. I'm not complaining, folks. I'm not proposing Obamacare. I know it freaks a lot of people. I'm not saying any of that. I'm asking you a logical question. What do you do? What do you do? Well, we've got an awful lot of more people that are... I know we do. I know. I understand that. But you see, what this guy did is he killed four people. So we got to do something with these people. Now, I made a reference last night, and I'm not knocking former President Reagan, and I'm not knocking the, you know, cut the budget politics of the 1980s. But I know here in the state of California, we had a lot of these inpatient care places that were closed because they didn't have the bread. And a lot of these people got put into the street, and a lot of them were walking around babbling to themselves. Now, 99%, they're not dangerous, but, you know. Fact is, you've got a lot of people walking the streets that are babbling to themselves. Now, is that a healthy state of affairs? Or should these people be somehow hospitalized? Or do we, as a civilized society, a modern society, just, you know, we're content to see people babbling to themselves, wandering the streets? Now, a lot of people tell you, oh, that's very liberal and you want that nanny state thing. No, I don't, man. I'm nanny state. I don't want to take care of some guy that knows that the sun comes up in the day and he knows how to put his pants on. He can go out and get a job and he's just laying around on his ass. I could care. But if someone is getting up in the morning and they think they're living in, in Oz, in other words, they don't even know where they are, and you have the remote possibility of them doing something to harm themselves or somebody else, we got to set up some kind of a system for that, don't we? You want to know what the problem is here? It wasn't Huckabee. It wasn't Huckabee at all. It's the fact that we don't have a way to treat these people. Well, if Huckabee had kept him in jail, well, there was a psychiatrist, there was a psychologist, there were professionals who said the guy was fine. Some other guy said that he was dangerous. They had a whole lot of different opinions. This guy denied he'd hurt anybody. All right, I'm done. 877-876-PHIL. You know what I'm saying?
Well.
Climate scientists at the center of email. Why talk about it? You know, it's beyond. We don't have the bread, man. There's just, you know, we don't have the money for that stuff right now. So we're just going to have to do what we got to do, you know. But I'll tell you this much. We're not too much far removed from the days of Bedlam. I'm telling you right now. Back in the day when they used to have a nut, they would throw them into a pit with a bunch of other nuts and they'd lock it up. And that's the end of that, man. And you could hear them screaming for blocks, but that's it. That's why we use that term Bedlam. That was an actual place. That was a nut house in London. Not a psychiatric hospital, not a this or a that, a nut house. And they took the nuts and they put them in there. They chained them to a wall and that was it. And we're not too far removed. Instead of doing that these days, we don't have a nut house. We just, the nut house is the streets, you know, that we walk. We're far better than we were in the days of Bedlam. Yeah, we don't have a Bedlam now. The guy's walking down the street next to me. Climate scientist at the center of email controversy to step down, a scientist who's one of the central figures in the controversy over hacked emails from the University of East Anglia's Climate Research Unit, announced on Tuesday he's stepping down while the stepping is good. And while the university investigates the incident, climate skeptics have seized on several emails from Phil Jones. He'd have to have my name, wouldn't he? Director of the university's Climate Research Unit.
You know him?
No, I don't. Why would I know him?
Because, well, his name.
I don't know him, no. Just because his name's Phil doesn't mean I know him.
You an idiot? No, his name's Phil.
So what, man? You think I know every cat named Phil? You know everybody named Bud?
There ain't nobody else named Bud.
True. In any event, climate skeptics have seized on several emails from Phil Jones, director of the university's climate research unit. Do I know him? To other researchers is evidence that prominent scientists have sought to silence their voice in the debate over global warming. The emails were pirated and posted online last month. What is important, says Mr. Jones, or Dr. Jones, or Director Jones, is that CRU continues its world-leading research with as little interruption and diversion as possible. After a good deal of consideration, I've decided that the best way to achieve this is by stepping aside from the director role during the course of the independent review, and I'm grateful to the university for agreeing to this. Now, you may know that emails were hacked out of this system that seemed to indicate some of the research, some of the data, some of the press releases were cooked, as they say. In other words, they were fattened up a little bit, or in some instances, just flat not true, because they want to promote the idea that man-made global warming is a reality. Now, this is a very serious charge. It also is not very surprising to a lot of us who said there's something really fishy about these cats that don't want to sit down and have an honest debate about it. I found it really particularly troubling in the case of our former vice president, who's a good guy, and I'm sure he's smart enough to debate it. Why wouldn't he sit down with somebody? You know, it's just not cool to sell the story that, well, the science is, you know, that's it, there's no discussion. You can't, you know, people aren't that stupid. We're dumb. But we ain't that dumb. Now, wait just a minute. What are you saying? Well, just never mind. What do you mean, never mind, man? I know that, well, we've got it. It's all figured out. We've got it. Don't worry about it. Just leave us alone. Well, no, I ain't going to leave you alone. All right. Robert Gibbs. Do we have the Gibbs? We do have the climate change Gibbs. Here is Gibbs, Press Secretary Gibbs. He isn't concerned with the hacked emails from climate change scientists because there's no longer a dispute as to whether or not climate change is actually exists. Also heard in this clip is reporter Les Kinsolving of WorldNet Daily, which probably screwed the whole thing up because those guys are a pain in the ass.
On the order of several thousand scientists have come to the conclusion that climate change is happening. I don't think that's anything that is, quite frankly, among most people in dispute anymore.
Are you aware of the list, the published list of 31,000 scientists who oppose this idea of global warming?
I don't doubt that there are.
There's 6,000 of our PhDs.
I don't doubt that that there's such a list. Lester, I think there's no real scientific basis for the dispute of this.
All right. Mark Morano, who edits the climate skeptic blog ClimateDepot.com, welcomed the news with an email stating, one down, climate change scientist Phil Jones to temporarily step down pending investigation into allegations he overstated case for man-made climate change. On March 19th of 2009, an email from Mr. Jones in which he complains to another scientist about the new editor of Weather, a journal published by the Royal Meteorological Society, is causing heat. He said, and I quote, if I don't get him to back down, I won't be sending any more papers to any RMS journals, and I'll be resigning from the RMS, Jones writes, in an apparent protest to a change in the journal's guidelines for authors. Whatever. So he doesn't like the guy's editorial policy. He doesn't like the guy's opinions. That don't mean anything. In another, Jones suggested to climate scientist Michael Mann of Penn State University that skeptics' research was unwelcome. We, quote, will keep them out somehow, even if we have to redefine what the peer review literature is. Now, that is bad. The reason why that's bad is because scientists, unlike, oh, I don't know, philosophers maybe religious clerics, scientists should welcome debate. Scientists should welcome information. Scientists should welcome the dialogue. Scientists are all about what is actually happening. What is happening in nature? What is happening around us? What constitutes the reality we live in? They're the last people that we would ever want to say, I don't want to talk about that. That's not what a scientist did. I can understand priests saying that. I can understand minister. You know, we've encountered all of these stubborn, pig-headed people in our lives, and really what their pig-headedness and their stubbornness is about is not all that earth-shaking. You can say there's a God. You can say there isn't a God. Whatever. It's not something that is going to change the nature of our world tomorrow. This is all something having to do with faith. But when you're talking about science, a scientist saying we'll keep them out somehow, even if we have to redefine what the peer review literature is, this is a very troubling thing to say, because you're saying, I've already made up my mind on the science. If these guys come along with something that is going to further illuminate or perhaps even debunk what it is I believe, I don't want to hear it. In other words, we're back in the days of the court scientists, the guys that surrounded the king, the ones that said, I can tell you that the earth is flat. Now, when the former vice president says, those of you who don't believe in man-made global warming are still believers in the flat earth, you might as well believe in a flat earth. Look, Columbus took the trip, man. He went over there. Here it is. You know, we're going to keep sailing. Magellan went around the globe. Bang, we proved it. And that was that. Nobody said to Magellan, to any great degree, how dare you, the world's flat. And in point of fact, by that point in history, the leaders of government were sponsoring these expeditions. In the emails, which date to 1996, researchers in the United States and the United Kingdom repeatedly take issue with climate research at odds with their own findings. In some cases, they discuss ways to rebut what they call disinformation using new articles in scientific journals or popular websites. The emails include discussions of apparent efforts to make sure that reports from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, a United Nations group that monitors climate science, include their own views and exclude others. In addition, emails show that climate scientists declined to make their data available to scientists whose views they disagreed with. In one email, Benjamin Sander from the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in Livermore, California, wrote to the director of the Climate Studies Center that he was tempted to beat up a fellow scientist. Other emails that have drawn scrutiny include a message from Kevin Trenberth, a climate scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, that includes this sentence. The fact is that we can't account for the lack of warming at the moment, and it's a travesty that we can't. What are you guys doing for a living? Quit screwing around, okay? Get out of the political arena that you have suddenly dragged science into. Get out of that business and get back to being scientists and quit your fooling around. You may think you know what's going on, my brother. If you don't, admit it. If you do, then don't be afraid of the debate. That's what we asked for on this show. We had one. It was worthless. We had a guy on that was a pro-climate warming. He was a climate warming advocate, a man-made climate warming advocate who brought no science to the table. Actually, the guy that was opposed to it did. The guy who was in favor of man-made global warming came on and did a pitch. He did a public relations pitch. The guy that was opposed to us talked about computer models. Guy worked for NASA. The other guy worked for another eminent organization. They were both very eminent men. But the fact is, the guy that was a global warming advocate would not engage the other guy when it came to the numbers. He repeated by rote almost what you would read in a press release. Here's what we can do. Here's how we can green up. Here are, let's collect bottles, and let's make sure that there's no balloons in the ocean so the whales choke, and let's make sure, and let's not fart as much. Meanwhile, scientists at the University of East Anglia have admitted throwing away much of the raw temperature data on which their predictions of global warming are based. It means that other academics are not able to check basic calculations to show a long-term rise in temperature over the past 150 years. The UEA's Climatic Research Unit was forced to reveal the loss following requests for the data under the Freedom of Information legislation. They dumped the data, got rid of it. This isn't science. Some kind of a con job. I don't mind people telling me that we got to do something about energy. I agree. We got to do something about energy. We got to get off of oil. I totally agree with that. If that's the argument, let's have the argument. I'm down with that. We need more energy. We need more fuel. You're absolutely right. So then I say, along with a few other people, I say, well, let's get to it right now. What do we know now? Well, we do know that we can drill for oil here in the United States while we move towards some of these other technologies. No. Don't you understand the climate? Look it, man, if you don't want to mess up the view from behind Robert Redford's hotel, just say it. But don't tell me about global warming. Just come out and say it. You don't want to mess up the view from the napalm suite there at the Robert Redford Hotel, because that's really what you're saying. You're not telling me anything about global warming, man, because now we're finding you guys are running a con. The reason why you don't want to drill for oil is because that means there's going to be oil derricks sitting out behind your beach house. That's why. What about the animals? What about the fish? Oh, get out of here with the animals. How many times am I going to say it? We've been saying it for a year. I live in off the Santa Barbara Channel. They got more whales and more dolphins and more damn sea lions out there than they got human beings within 1,000 square miles. I bet you we got more damn sea lions out here in the Santa Barbara Channel than human beings in the state of California. I'd be willing to make a bet.
You're kidding.
Well, you know. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. How about that? The pair on some people, man. Loneliness spreads like a virus, and WorldNet Daily is upset with gay elf sex. And I got to go with him on that one. 871-876-PHIL. I don't mind gay sex, gay people, gay elves. I won't have it. In the day, way, way back in the day when I was in high school and most of you weren't born yet, well, a lot of you were, but there was a president. His name was President Nixon. He was, to this day, he's a very misunderstood man, but he was a misguided man in many ways. But he was president, and he took the heat for this, and what it was a release from the Rand Institute by a man named Daniel Ellsberg of what were soon to be known as the Pentagon Papers. The Pentagon Papers, the release of the Pentagon Papers, was as big a story as you could possibly imagine. It ripped the lid off of Vietnam, American foreign policy, America's intentions in Southeast Asia, the CIA's Operation Cobra, which was an assassination plan. You name every dirty, rotten, foul, disgusting thing that was being considered or otherwise on the table or being executed by the United States Department of Defense. It was in the Pentagon Papers. It was published. A judge said, you can publish this. It went into the New York Times. The government tried to stop the publishing of this. It was a huge story. It was it was a game changer for a lot of Americans when it came to the war in Vietnam, how they viewed American foreign policy, how we viewed American foreign policy, American military policy, things we didn't know about. Well, that's what this is for the global warming people. This is the Pentagon Papers right here. And the thing about the Pentagon Papers was that it verified what a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but a significant number of people had already suspected. Well, the same thing with this. This is, why don't you want to talk about it? Al Gore here in front of a U.S. committee.
Congressman, you began by denying that there is a consensus on the science. There is a consensus on the science.
You mustn't have been listening to our testimony that we've had for the last few days with dozens of experts that have come in who have given completely different views.
Well, there
so are I would encourage you to go back and look at the testimony there, this committee's heard.
There are people who still believe that the moon landing was staged on a movie lot in Arizona.
And neither of us are one of those, and I know you like giving those cute anecdotes. This is not a cutesy issue. We're talking about export millions of jobs out of our economy, out of our country, and testimony has been given just to those numbers.
All right, so that was, you heard our former vice president saying basically, you know, you believe in fairy tales. All right, we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley next.
Phil Hendry.